Listening to Thoughtless Casual Gaming with Brett and Jace. We are a Geelong-based gaming podcast where we play games really badly and then talk really badly about them.
And tonight, so badly.
Oh, yes. Tonight we are talking Kill Team.
We are, but if we were going to do that, it would be badly. And we knew that. So we decided to make it less badly and invite someone along who is less badly at both playing and talking about Kill Team. We assume.
Yeah, big assumptions. So, welcome, Chad.
Hello.
That's Thank you.
Yeah, that was your cue.
I feel like I've already been thrown into it. It's fantastic.
Excellent. Yep, you're getting the privileged service here, so buckle in.
Do we have an unprivileged service? And if so, can I order one, please?
I think that was in your Google history just before, mate.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, we don't need to kink shame here.
No. So, who the fuck are you?
Who am I? From a real perspective or imagined? As you've said, name's Chad. I've been playing with you guys only for 6 months now.
Only that long with a question.
It was
at the end of what I said.
That was such an upward inflection. Yeah, it was definitely a.
Yeah. I've already been told by you that I have possibly herpes, something to do with hot dogs and hallways. So I've had a storied history on this podcast thus far.
That's what we get.
I'm glad I'm not special in that regard. Yeah, I just pretty much play Blood Bowl, Kill Team, and that's really it for myself from a current hobby perspective.
So
I won't give you the full blow-by-blow.
No, don't give us a full blow-by-blow, but give us a Cliff Notes version of a history of nerd life. You know, where'd you come from? Where did you go? But I think, you know,
Cotton Eye Joe.
You see where I'm going here. We've known you for, you know, six-ish months, and Blood Bowl has been it, right? But have you played games before then?
September 17th is when you joined the Discord.
There you go.
Man.
September 17th. I got my last haircut September 19th, actually. The reason I know that is because I'm due for a haircut this Friday, so that's the only reason I know that I don't keep to the date recordings of my haircuts. But anyway.
If I was due for a haircut, that would not mean that I, by default, know when my last one was.
Well, I have to text my hairdresser guy.
I see what's happened here. Yeah.
So okay. I saw the last message today. It literally happened today. But anyway, so I'm you can probably guess by the accent eventually. From across the ditch, the Better Island,
Tasmania.
But I start the other Better Island. Yeah,
Fiji,
Rarotonga.
Yeah, okay.
I started playing fantasy way back in the 90s. That was my first foray into Games Workshop. Stumbled into a Games Workshop store and purchased the box without knowing anything about it. Unfortunately, in the town that I come from, there's about 15 people, which is half the population of New Zealand, and no one played fantasy, so I eventually had to get into 40K. 40K led to Necromunda. Necromunda led to Blood Bowl. And then I went on a hiatus for, I'm going to say, a decade, and I got back into Blood Bowl probably a year and a half, 2 years ago now, I guess. Just purely so I wouldn't sit on the couch and doomscroll. And here I am. So Yeah, my nerd history has not been extremely comprehensive, and it's been all Games Workshop, unfortunately. So I've suckled on the teat of Games Workshop for a very long time. But yeah, my jam really was pretty much fantasy in the day.
There is a definite divide, right? People go, like, I'm one way or the other. It's very rarely are you system amorous, poly. How's that? I'm not sure what that would be.
Polyamorous?
Yeah, but system,
Yeah, I'm trying to work that out myself.
You see where I'm going with this, right? But yep. I feel like people go, right, I am fantasy or 40K, and that is kind of, and then you dabble in the other one. Like, you give it a go, fair enough. You got to try these things, but you always come back, right? You always.
Yeah, I definitely like knives more than guns. So I don't know if that's more sadistic or less sadistic, but fantasy was definitely more exciting. For me, just I think coming up, you know, Tolkien, all of that, and dragons and knights on horseback seemed a lot more appropriate than giant walking tanks and demons and all that sort of space stuff. But anyway, but yep, I've played my fair share of 40K, and that's sort of what's led onto Kill Team, really.
I mean, we can definitely give you other boobs to try than GW's one. But look, that's a fairly sort of standard. You know, I think we've all done it. We've all been there. You taste the various different flavors of GW.
Well, look, they are addictive. They do what they do very well, but you pay for the privilege, unfortunately.
No, you definitely do.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
It is what it is. I can't complain too much. They keep me out of trouble. Not that I can get in much nowadays, but.
Yeah. So it looks like you went sort of, all right, fantasy, large-scale battle game, 40K-ish large-scale battle game, but just with bigger things that go bang. Necromunda gets smaller. Blood Bowl, probably similar size. Kill Team, still the same, right? Are we feeling a draw towards the smaller games, just with less time, less, more life things going on, or?
Absolutely, and more drinking.
Mm.
So the problem with drinking all day is you have to drink all day and then recover. Whereas if you have to play Blood Bowl for 2 hours or so for 11's match,
yep,
drinking for 2 hours, I can pull that off and still function the next day. Whereas 4 to 5 hours of drinking during 40K, you miss a lot of rules near the end. So,
I mean. I miss a lot of rules near the start, but no, that's fair. It is the logistical thing. I will say, like, trying to cart around an army of things and line up a game and the extra space needed and all of that stuff. There is something to be said about painting 11 dudes, dragging a little case, you know, something the size of a shoebox in the car and just going and busting out some games too. Like, it is convenient.
I also made the mistake of going orcs and Imperial Guard when they were called that.
There was just volumes.
Yeah, there was just volumes of green. It was, yeah.
You're just trying to get a little bit of gaming in with your drinking.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, yeah. And when you're painting that much green, I can just hear Fortunate Son in the background every time I remember painting that volume of small plastic miniatures glued together terribly as well. But
a lot of things are falling into place, I will say. Anyway, sorry, but all right, that is a brief history. And where we've stumbled on is, I think, you know, we were obviously the local, probably, you know, the pushers of the Blood Bowls, particularly Sevens. All right, you've come along and you've kind of sampled that, and then you've gone, I've got something else for you. And you've almost, you know, come in and just poached the audience out from underneath us. No. But so why Kill Team? Where's it come from?
I think the 40K background, that universe, that story is pretty cool. It's pretty comprehensive. There's some awesome characters. You can kind of do with it as you will. So that's always makes gaming a lot more interesting. Of course, but again, it was just something something new, something new, but something that I knew, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I knew 40K, I knew I could get into this, you know, I already know the background to it. I knew there'd be some sort of, I don't know, there'd be other people to play, some sort of audience that'd be interested in it. And I enjoy painting the models. So most of what I do comes down to what I enjoy painting, really. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm any good at it, but that is the most fun part for me, is the several hours a week I can just disconnect and ruin.
But you think about how many hours you spend gaming versus how many hours you spend not gaming but also involved in the hobby, because you're, you know, sitting there trying to ruin plastic. I hear it.
I'm doing my part for the giant plastic island floating around in the Pacific. I'm trying to keep as much plastic out of that as possible by painting it poorly over the course of, well, several decades, unfortunately, due to some models still from my 90s that haven't been painted. But
we don't mention them, it's fine. does that also mean that if we painted the island, it would no longer be a large hazard?
Painted the island, a big plastic. Well, I don't know if that would work so well, to be honest. I wonder if Dulux does a paint that you can use underwater.
You're telling me wash and wear is not going to work out the mustard?
Maybe not, but we can look into this. This is an untapped market. Yeah, I feel like we need to get into paint that works underwater.
How the fuck do they paint submarines then?
Not underwater. Paint them before they go underwater. So we need to just lift the plastic island out of the water, then paint it.
Dump it back.
Need to put it back in.
Happy days.
That sounds like a problem for Elon. I reckon he needs to get onto that.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. All right. This has already gone way off.
This is what we're used to. It's fine. So, I mean, I've talked at length about my love for the lore of 40K and how, like, as far as a universe that a company has built up and given life and story to, it is one of the best, in my opinions. Mm. And, you know, it's a shame to me that I just don't get enjoyment out of 40K itself. So Kill Team was intriguing for me. And so I've got a little bit of a blurb here. So for those that don't know, Kill Team is a skirmish war game published by GW. First released in 2004 as part of the Warhammer 40,000 franchise, but it was later re-released as a standalone game in 2018. The game is played with a small number of models, typically between 5 and 20 per player. It's a bit of a difference there, allowing for faster and more dynamic gameplay than traditional 40K battles. And so we got 2018 was second ed, 2021, which is the current edition, is third ed. Does that sound about right, Mr. Expert?
Roughly. I think we're in second edition now, technically.
Technically.
The 2018, the 2018 one relied heavily on 40K rules. The current one now is pretty standalone from a lot of the rules perspective. Just the introduction of shapes. Colors, they've got a target market, and it's just graduated from play school straight into Kill Team.
I think this is a good segue. So I think it'd be nice to talk a little bit about the differences. What makes Kill Team the unique little thing that it is? Shapes and colors. What the actual shit?
Look, you've heard me complain ad nauseum about shapes and colours. I don't know why we cannot just write 6 inches instead of having three circles?
Or a pentagon?
Or a pentagon, yeah. I don't understand how that is time or cost saving. That sounds like something that's come straight from HR just to fill in a meeting. But, yeah, it is an odd choice, shapes and colours. But the remainder of the rules, once you get past obscuring and cover, They flow a lot faster than 40K did the last time I played. But it's all about learning that sort of key rule set for your team.
And I will say it is one of the worst written rule sets.
Absolutely.
It is.
Yeah, I haven't read them yet, so.
I tried and I gave up. It's one of those things where I think the actual rules are relatively streamlined and straightforward and make perfect sense. But what they've done then is try to cram as many words into explaining it as physically possible. So instead of just saying someone needs to be within an inch of something to get cover from it, or whatever the rule is, they proceed to preamble it with about a paragraph and then add in some shapes and colors and then add another paragraph, and you're left going, what the hell are they talking about?
But that's pretty much stock standard GW, though, isn't it? Being honest.
I feel like they've pushed the boat out on this one, I feel. The word retain, somebody must have been getting paid.
A retainer.
To use that word. A retainer. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
To use that word as many times as possible, because it is throughout the book. And every time it's used, it doesn't seem to be an appropriate spot to use that word.
No.
But
because that's that whole concept of you roll dice and then stuff happens and you get to keep some of those dice rolls because others might get cancelled. So the ones that you get to keep, you retain, because keep would be much too simpler a word. So any dice that you retain have an effect, because between you rolling them and you retaining them, stuff can happen, which means you don't get to keep them. But again, they've just used the word retain like 8 million times.
Because they get paid by the keystroke.
Yeah, that's it. So there's a gotcha there as well, Jace, you see. So the term retain in Pilsen for a lot of dice rolls means after you've rolled the dice, if you've got, say, a crit, that crit is retained irrespective of what your opponent then rolls. So even if you manage to parry or you roll a defense dice to negate that six or that five in the case of
Yeah, because it still has an effect, right? It has to be either negated effect or things like that, but it needs to be a thing that happens before the dice has an effect. Yeah, it's... Mm.
It's very confusing for the first time reader, but once you get through that, once you've failed your first four games, you're on your way to learning it. You know, it's understanding the kill team rules are like trying to decipher the temper tantrum of a 3-year-old. You know, there's intent. There's a reason this is happening, but for the life of you, you don't know what's going on or how to stop it.
They're written with feeling.
You just got to write it out. Yeah, write it out, wait until they're 18, everything comes okay.
And then they're at the door.
We are selling this game like nothing.
No, look, I think, so it is, and I think that is ultimately the biggest barrier to entry, is it is hard to understand if you take GW's approach and buy their rule book and read their rule book. I think you absolutely need to have their rule book as a reference, but actually the best way to learn this game is not to do that, because it's too fucking confusing, and you're better off to watch some up-to-date battle reports, play a game with someone, and there are a number of other references online that actually talk about how things work and explain it in real people words rather than GW. And then you take the rulebook back as a reference and you'd be like, what was that thing? And you look it up, and you by then have enough familiarity with the way the rule is intended that you can kind of skip through the fluff and the guff and the confusingness.
Everyone just needs a chat.
Well,
that is also my preferred option. You don't actually look at the rule book at all, and you're just like, hey, Chad, what the hell does this mean? And he goes, well, look, there's a really interesting thread on Reddit about that.
Almost like we had this conversation last night.
Well, this is exactly what I did. I have not read the rules. I relied on you completely for our game. Jace sounds like he's tried to read some of the rules.
It was hard. And then
it's Sorry, Jace, go on.
No, I got to the stage where, unfortunately, like, part of me wanted to rewrite the rules. Like, it actually rankled me that much that I wanted to rewrite them into words that people would understand, and that's the point I stopped, because I don't need to do my job at my non-job time.
I had enough trouble.
Yeah, I have to play through it. Sorry,
yeah,
mate.
Yeah, no, you're right. This is what happens with three of us.
This is practice, yeah.
This is what happens with two of us. You probably heard. No, but I had enough trouble with the web page where you make your team. And I didn't understand what the hell was going on. And I rocked up to our game with a team that was not my team.
Yeah, that was confusing when I saw you turned up with only 9 models. When you have the potential to have, I think it's 12, 11 or 12 for the commandos. But they have not made that easy. They have not made that easy at all. But the fact that there's a resource online to help you make your team and they haven't closed that down.
It's impressive. Yeah, take it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so all right, I think the game actually itself probably needs to be separated from GDub's implementation of the game, because they are two separate things. Because ultimately, if we go back to the concept of the game and what makes Kill Team a little bit different to, I mean, 40K universe, right? We all get that, but I think as the little preamble said, it's skirmish scale, right? So we're talking a handful of models rather than a handful of tanks or just one giant stompy thing, because that's how 40K works as far as I'm concerned now. Whoever has the biggest toy wins, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. There is...
With 40K, you basically roll off at the start of the game and the person that loses just takes half their army off the board.
Yeah, they just lose. That's how it works. We're never making friends with the 40K group, are we? No. That we're just burning bridges. But terrain, I would say. So small board. I don't know what the dimensions of the board are, but it's little.
It's like 30
inches by 22. Yeah.
Which is strange.
It's a little obscure. Like, we've just picked a different measurement to everybody else, is what it feels like. what's something we can copyright? 30 by 22 inch playing surfaces. terrain. I like this about it, though, that the options for terrain, and you know, it's one of those games that benefits from different kinds, like levels and height and cover and, you know, stuff you can jump over and stuff you can see through and stuff you can't and all that kind of stuff. So it makes for really interesting boards, and it gives you that real sense of, you know, guys in and amongst doing the kind of, you know, special ops kind of deal, trying to do a thing. So I think, you know, if you look at 40K as, I don't think it's an army game per se, in that it doesn't really have huge amounts of models, right? But it's almost raiding party kind of size. 40K gear, Kill Team gives you that special ops mission kind of concept, right? Where it's, you know, we need this Kill Team to go in and do a special thing, because that's going to have this overwhelming effect on a bigger battle. And I think that's probably something that would be fun if I cared for 40K, is that you could actually do a campaign that mixed the things.
It's definitely got that option, and you could totally integrate a Kill Team style scenario into a wider war that's going on and have implications on the game that you're currently playing. But I mean, for me, this is a skirmish game. It's not a big army game. It's not, more importantly than probably anything else on this game, is that it's alternate activations. You play a model, I play a model, you play a model, everybody dances. Like, that to me is really important. especially in these type of games.
It's a bit of a leveler. It means your opponent's not going to wipe you out entirely,
mm-hmm.
and you've done absolutely nothing, which is used to be the fun part of 40K when you'd get tabled pretty much, like you guys said, by the end of turn one. Like, well, shouldn't have bothered painting up 150 guardsmen just to have 100 of them taken off the board straight away. That was good use of my time.
I mean, firstly, that's your own fault for playing guard.
Hey, come on.
Hey, look.
Someone's gotta paint a lap green.
Yeah, you can get little guardsmen come. They come already green. They on the little base already, and they just it's like that, you know, toys, the movie. Anyway, I think other things that keep people really engaged, right? So there's that. I think there's this concept of the thing I actually really dig is the combat mechanic for this, which is different to most other things I've played. I don't know what else uses that, but this concept of both people fight. So, you know, I'm gonna fight you. Them's fighting words. We're gonna have a duel, right? And so we both roll our attack dice, and then I get to do a thing with one of my dice, and then you get to do a thing with one of your dice. Now I can choose to take my dice and hit you, or I could choose to take one of my dice and parry one of yours. So it keeps both players involved in just a one-on-one combat too. It's not just I rolled a hit, I rolled a wound, you die. Regards, it's this piece around we both rolled a pool of dice. They're going to be different because we've got different stats. All right, I went first and I'm going to choose to try and parry one of your attacks. And you're constantly doing that piece around can I do as much damage as possible while taking as least amount of damage as possible to do a thing, instead of just how much damage can I do? Or in my case, it's just how much damage can I do?
Yeah, I didn't see you parry at all last night.
It's overrated. But it's an option, and that's important.
You could have if you wanted to.
It definitely keeps both players engaged. As an Eldari player, I don't particularly like you being able to hit me back with your big bad space marines because I'm made out of a soft, gooey substance. And I just get splattered with the first hit, whereas you're made out of what I can only assume to be other bits of Space Marine. And it takes about four of my guys to kill one of yours. So that's always real fun. But, yeah, it is a much more engaging and fluid and narrative way of playing. It's very – I have not fought in war. But I imagine you don't stand there and wait for the other person to finish hitting you with their chainsaw with a handle on the end of it. You tend to fight back at the same time. So it is much more fun. Absolutely.
And it does really give a sense of the two models actually in combat and both of them not necessarily coming out completely unscathed. Like, I just think it's a clever concept. It doesn't. It also means that you need to be really thoughtful around when you're going to bother throwing something in combat. I made terrible mistakes in games last night where I thought, I'm a Space Marine. You're not a Space Marine. Therefore, by default, I hit you harder than you hit me. And then I ended up dead because directly prior to that, the not a Space Marine shot a big hole in me with a melter gun.
Hey, what your problem was is you disregarded the guard. Those bayonets are lethal. If you get enough of those, it, you know, damage two or three. Oof.
He had a board with a nail in it. You should
have seen the smirk on Ant.
He was so happy.
The smirk on Ant's face, he was done.
So impressed. It was glorious. But I also think, you know, the good thing there is it does have the option to be that swingy, right? It's still a dice game. So I can roll five dice and need fuck all to hit you and I'm probably going to murder you if I'm two of those hit. And they could not. Or before I get a chance to use the ones that hit, you've done just enough to ping as well. So it's fun. I think the other thing, and you can probably talk to this way better than I can because I've also ignored most of these, is the objectives. So the mission
concept. You have ignored most of those, correct? Yeah. Yeah.
So I hear that they're a thing in the game, and I hear that they actually have some kind of effect.
Well, you hit the nail on the head with the word concept. You don't technically need to capture any of these if you just want to murder. So, yeah, you've been playing it one way. There is definitely one way to play it, and you've been playing it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But the objectives, the secondary objectives we've been introducing to a lot of new people's games recently, and that is definitely brought a whole new dynamic where you don't just run across the field screaming and wailing with a bolt, pistol, and a chainsaw. You actually have to think about, what do I need to do to achieve this? What do I need to do to stop them achieving that? And at the end of the game, like I played Moose the other day, we ended up with a draw purely because of the secondary objectives. Otherwise, he would have completely demolished me with his Space Marines. You're seeing a theme here that I don't really enjoy Space Marines. But, it's just another way to level a game and make it more, more user-friendly, more of a two-player game rather than the person who can pull out the most gotchas and the most dice and have the best roll on the first turn. There is always a way to come back, unless you're James playing Necrons. But otherwise, it's, the options are always there. You've got four turns. You can always sneak out a bit of a cheeky win.
I mean, go for it.
I was just going to say, I have noticed this, and perhaps the introduction of secondary objectives, which I haven't seen yet, will change. But I have noticed that the big, tougher Space Marine type crews are tending to do a lot more, a lot better than the other ones, like the squishy guard and orcs and Necrons to a certain degree.
I think that will be the case until everybody's got better comprehension of their team, to be honest. Mm-hmm. So the Space Marines are fairly, obviously,
idiot proof.
There you go. You said it. I didn't say it. So for people who are newer to the game, for people who are newer to the game, you can literally just run them up the middle of the board and just absorb damage. But as soon as somebody figures out how to use that barrage from your Imperial Guard, or figures out where to set up that sniper properly, or all those little Eldari tricks that I've got, you can negate that fairly quickly. In terms of international tournament play, they're one of the, I wouldn't say lower teams by any stretch of the imagination. They're still up there, but there are definitely teams that are stronger, that on paper don't look as particularly strong. So it really, it's one of those games where you have to stick with a team and play it until you know it inside out and know all the tricks and know all the little, the little sneaky bits and pieces to them. And then we will all see, a much different result on a lot of tables. You just need to watch Lewis play with AdMech. He cleaned Moose off the board the other day. So it definitely can be done with an experienced player. Yeah.
And you say a lot of tables. Like Kill Team has, I think we alluded to it at the start, but it's definitely almost taken over the Discord. There are a lot of people keen on this. There's a lot of interest. There's a lot of chatter about it. And I think there's more Kill Team games going on each week than there are Blood Bowl.
Which is blasphemous, let's be really clear.
But it's
telling.
Kudos to you, mate, because you've helped set all of this up.
Well, I think it's one of those games as well that you do have, unfortunately, because you made poor life decisions, half a dozen Space Marines sitting in the back of your closet. So the barrier to getting into the game is quite a lot lower,
mm-hmm,
in many respects. Everybody knows, who's ever seen Games Workshop's logo, knows, Astartes. They know Space Marines. They know roughly the 40K universe. So to get people into it, I think is a lot easier, even though Blood Bowl is infinitely more fun. It is definitely the barrier to entry is a little bit higher, not by much, but by just enough that more people can jump into a kill team quicker. I mean,
yeah, because it is that thing, right? I think we all kind of alluded to at the start that whether you like the 40K game or not, the universe is incredible. I don't know how many of the Horus Heresy novels I've bought and absorbed and things like that, how much of the background and the story and the models are gorgeous. Like, they're still good. And for some bizarre reason, Space Marines are fun to paint. Like, up to five. Any more than that, fuck off. But, like, that sixth one's going to be a drag. But, like, I think they've got some really good models. They're, as you said, everyone's got a few kicking around, or they're easy to get hold of, if not brand new. You know, there's a secondhand market out there, right? There's a world I'm interested in that I don't need a billion bloody orcs to play with. I need a handful of dudes, which I can paint. I need a little tiny bloody coffee table size space that I can game on. Why would you not? I think is more of the question.
Absolutely. That's definitely accessible in all respects.
I mean,
if your reading comprehension's not quite up there, it might be a little difficult.
That's why YouTube's there.
That's YouTube. Yeah. But apart from reading the rules, learning the rules, knowing the rules, the game's really easy.
Yeah, you need to actually play against someone, but I guess there's also maybe some social challenges that some people will have. But, I mean, realistically, and game speed, I suppose, learning the game, one thing. But once you've got a vague idea of how it plays and how it works and what your shit does, how long do you reckon you're busting out a game in?
Oh, you could easily do it an hour and a half. You could easily get through it an hour and a half. It comes down to each player knowing, oh no, there's no more on the table. That's right. It comes down to each player knowing their team inside and out.
Yep.
And once that happens, quick games, turn over a couple in an evening, nice and easy. Yep. Especially with Into the Dark. I think that's the way they should have done Kill Team at the start. That's definitely going to be faster again. It's fantastic. It's a great variant.
Is this the walls and doors, corridors?
Walls and doors, yeah. Close combat is what they're sort of calling it.
So, talk to me about this, because literally the other night was my experience in this.
They've broken up Kill Team into seasons. So the first season was essentially the Octarius box set, and that was Vet Guard and Commandos. The second season, I cannot remember what it's called. They've all got names. The last season that just came out was started by the Into the Dark box set, which was Hearthkin and Groot, I believe. I might be mistaken there.
Groot.
So they give each a theme. This one is a Space Hulk theme. So you're supposed to be fighting your way down corridors in a Space Hulk. So obviously you've got a lot of walls, you've got a lot of doors, you're a lot more close to each other, which should really tickle your fancy, Jace, because there's a lot less room for them to run away. You can cut them up a lot faster. It's all just indoors. The door dynamic, holding doors, guard dynamic, all of that brings a different aspect to the game entirely. And you don't tend to have that frustrating couple of first turns where your opponent has set up that sniper in the vantage point and you've just got to wear bullets until you can get at him. This makes it a little bit quicker. You can cover ground you're still going to get shot, but you deserve it, rather than just being a target across the board. So,
all right.
I did see this last night, and I was very intrigued. It did really bring back a lot of Space Hulk memories.
Absolutely, yeah.
I love Yeah, Space Hulk, I haven't played since we played last, Jace, I think.
Neither have I.
Yeah, but yeah, that is one of those classic games that just never gets old.
It definitely has those vibes. It feels more board gamey than regular open play.
It's
also
Space Marines can only move triangle. Like that's the difference. It's not how many squares I get to move.
Yeah, I mean
it's definitely faster. Yeah,
we have talked about triangle and circle and dodecahedron or whatever they are, but yeah. Can you use, just out of curiosity, can you just use a tape measure?
I just use a tape measure. Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean,
I find it much easier.
They're pretty little template things, and I painted them up and they look nice, but measuring out three circles is kind of tedious.
Am I right, and I could very well not be, in that the idea when it's three circles, it's not actually 3 inches, it's actually 3 times 1 inch. So it only gives you an angle change at each point, or is it just it's actually 3 inches and they've just made it hard?
So a circle is actually 2 inches, Jace. I'm going to call you up on your comprehension of colours and shapes here.
Even I knew that, Jace.
What they've changed slightly is the increments of measurement. So each measurement has to be measured in a full inch. So you can only run a half of an inch, for example, half a triangle.
Mm-hmm.
Counts as a triangle.
Mm-hmm.
So when you've got your standard movement of 3 times circle, 6 inches for the normies, you can run to whatever up to that, but each increment's going to cost you that inch. So it hasn't departed a heck of a lot from all their other game systems that include, you know, movement and distance in that regard. They've just, for some reason, gone with shapes.
So,
yeah.
And I think the beat I wasn't sure about, and I've just been ignoring up until now, is really that old concept of, all right, let's say a circle's 2 inches, right? So can I go 1 inch or a triangle and then a triangle in another direction and that counts as a circle, or do I have to actually go the full, like the second I stop moving in a straight line, that is my circle?
Yeah, you can do whatever you want with those increments.
Great. Okay.
So you can do your 1 inch forward, 1 inch left.
And that's a circle.
1 inch right. Yep.
Okay.
Whichever you want to do.
I mean, so the good news here is I'm not cheating. The bad news here is I don't understand the value of the circle. Anyway, yeah.
I don't think anybody understands the value of the circle, to be honest. I'm definitely more of a triangle kind of guy myself. I don't like the infinity aspect. I like sharp edges. It's a very strong shape, triangle. So from an engineering perspective, it's definitely preferred. Yeah.
There is a white American somewhere screaming Pentagon right now. All right.
They've overcomplicated that aspect. I think they've overcomplicated it with the intention to try and simplify it. So when you get new players, you can just say, oh, this guy here, he runs 3 times circle. Okay, here's my little template, 3 times circle, blah, 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 blah. Pretty straightforward. But for anybody who knows how to read a tape measure, it just becomes a bit of a chore moving that template around, especially when you've got a cluttered table.
I mean, I still don't understand why that little bit on the end moves on the tape measure, but beyond that, I got it. The numbers bit, I'm right.
Yeah, we won't go into that little bit on the end. I don't feel
it's a bad idea.
A little bit on the end's important, especially when you're talking in inches, but that's a whole other conversation. So,
all right, so. The circles, the rhombuses, the, you know,
Dodecahedrons.
They're a bit silly and weird. What are the hugely positive?
Why the fuck would I play it?
Pretty much, that's what I'm trying to say, but with less profanities.
You've changed.
I've changed. I mean, I started off strong, and now I've gone weak.
Why would you play Killzone?
Why?
Why would you play Killzone? Why would you play Killzone? I think that going back to what we said before, it's just easy to get into. You don't need to buy a whole heap of models. You can have the 40K, the Fantasy, Age of Sigmar kind of feel on a micro scale. I think from a narrative point of view as well, much like Blood Bowl, you can actually have a relationship with your team, with your characters that you put into it. They build a little story each week. You know, mine don't build a great story. They all tend to die pretty frequently, but it's a story nonetheless. So I think for anybody looking for that dopamine hit and they don't have 4 hours, it's a great way to get into a very large, comprehensive hobby space for very little outlay.
Yeah.
And building that team and building that rapport with your team, is there like a campaign aspect as well that you can level up characters, or do they pretty much stay the same?
No, there definitely is. So what we're doing at the moment is a very watered down version of a narrative campaign. There's three ways to play: open play, match play, narrative. So match play is the most common. It's the easiest. That tends to be the one that everybody gravitates towards. Narrative, obviously, as the name suggests, is a big narrative storyline. You build up players and so forth, team members, warriors. So what we're doing at the moment is a mixture between match play and narrative. The reason being, it's just a lot faster. And since the idea behind this campaign we're doing at the moment is to get everybody up to speed with rules and teams and weed out the weak, the people who aren't going to turn up every time. But if we were doing it correctly, your team, your individuals would gain XP just like in Blood Bowl for certain actions. Then you roll on a table. Each faction has a separate table. You roll on that table and they get unique abilities or skills. You also can find rare equipment and just pimp out your team basically any which way you like. So it's really whatever you make of it. The issue with the narrative, primarily for us at the moment, is that it's very, I'll say, admin heavy. Mm-hmm. People have to be on top of where they are at in each game and in between games. And I just don't think people have the mental bandwidth at the moment.
You're playing with a group of simpletons at the moment. Let's be really, really clear. That makes it hard. So, but I think to that point, though, if we talk about why would you play Kill Team and narrative play, a lot of people almost enjoy that in-between game bit more than the game. It's what happens to my dude. Does he lose an eye or a leg? Does he find something cool? You know, how have they improved? How have they leveled up? How have they, you know, weathered the storm? And what am I going to do to, I'm down a player or I'm a down a team member. What am I going to do to fill that void in the next game? All that kind of stuff keeps you invested in between games. And I think if you're playing an hour and a half game and you're actually getting 3 hours of enjoyment out of that because you go home and you ponder all of the stuff that could happen and you're trying to make decisions and you roll on a table and your guy dies and you cry a little bit in the corner, like that's more than just the time you've invested in a game as well. And then you realize how badly the choices you've made were, and, you know, it snowballs. It's great.
It's all the more time things.
once we've wrapped up this current learning campaign, I'd definitely like to try out more of the traditional Games Workshop narrative campaign. I think once we've gotten through the next, I'll say, 5 or 6 games, everybody will have a decent idea on, firstly, the rules, and secondly, what their teams can actually do.
Mm-hmm.
And then definitely, the issue at the moment is remembering how to kill people,
mm-hmm.
and then taking a tally of the people you've killed. I think that'll blow some minds if we introduce that too early.
Yeah.
But we'll definitely get into it 100%. I'd love to. I 100% agree. Just building that individuality into each little piece of plastic as you go through the
series. You get attached to them and then they die. It's all of the best things
have
about
to chop their arms off. Curious, and it's been a long time, so I can't even comment because I can't remember, but have you played like Warcry? I'm curious as to if you have, if there's like, if it's very similar for the fantasy style, or if Kill Team's its own entity.
I dipped out before Warcry came about. I haven't played it. I do know it's played on the same size board. So there you go. They've managed to get a twofer there. I couldn't say. I couldn't say anything about it.
The major difference with Warcry, from memory, with those the extra kind of team ability things, right? There was that whole thing where you kind of had these team abilities that could go off, or the special ability kind of things that could go off. But otherwise, this whole concept of this game, you know, A, small faction, B, small table, small, you know, lots of terrain, C, objectives, why are we playing, what are we doing? I think probably Kill Team is a little bit more like objective based, as in there are 5 points on the table that you all have to fight over kind of deal, rather than the Warcry was a little bit different in the objectives, but that concept is still very similar with some very different mechanics on how combat's played out on you know, a few things like that. Warcry, the other bit that is probably missed a lot of the time, is the narrative campaign. Which has that piece around your dudes get better and worse and find stuff. Again, it's a little bit light. It's a little bit less considered, but I think Kill Team kind of leans more into the Necromunda history of, again, you build your warband, you level them up, they get cooler, they get injured, you get attached to them, then they die and you cry, which is at the, you know, circle of life.
Incidentally, one we need to play.
We also need to play Necromunda, that is true.
Yep.
I find it interesting that we've got Kill Team and Necromunda playing in very similar kind of spaces. It's 40K universe, sci-fi skirmish game. It's just one that uses the regular IP and one that uses the you know,
Hive World.
The Hive World stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been many, many years since I've played Necromunda, but it was definitely, I love that game. Ratskin Renegades, hands down. Awesome. They were much like the Imperial Guard. They just died en masse, but that's how you solve problems. But it was a lot more in depth. Wow. You said it. It was a lot more in depth. There was a lot more going on. The ability to change weapons, to change virtually everything about your operatives was fantastic. I feel like that sits between 40K and Kill Team in a way,
mm-hmm.
just in terms of mental investment. It's that next step up from what I can see. I don't know what the current rules are like. However, the ones I played were definitely a lot more in depth than the current Kill Team.
Yeah. And they were kind of based off 40K 4th edition or something ridiculous, right? Where, jamming weapons and stuff. It was fun. And None of that. I think you're right. I think that the Kill Team piece, as it feels a little bit either like a gateway drug or a coffee table alternative to 40K, but for those of us who don't have the time, effort, or inclination to play 40K, but still really like the stuff, and I really appreciate a skirmish game, and I do not have the mental capacity to go into a game that requires too much brain power. Like, there are games I would love to play that just require more mental capacity than I am willing to expend. And I feel like Kill Team is that nice little balance of it challenges, there's stuff to learn. I think, you know, I'm sitting at a point where I'm vaguely sort of mostly getting most of the rules right, but I don't know what the best decision is and how to work out what the best choice is in given a situation. I think, you know, that's it. But if that's where you're sitting, that's okay. Like, I don't have to know what the best choice is. I just have to know that, A, I'm getting most of the rules right. That's a win. And that's only because Chad's sitting on the next table and I'm like, hey, what the fuck does Conceal do? I think I actually said that yesterday.
Yeah, it was indirect you were talking about. In all honesty, I feel like the sort of the substitute professor. I'm literally one chapter ahead of the rest of the class and I'm reading furiously just to stay that one chapter ahead. Every time I play Lewis, he pulls out another rule that I haven't heard about before. I don't know if he's soft cheating or if he's, he actually knows more, but he's very convincing. So I'll believe him.
That's all you got to do, right? It's like a job interview.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. Except there's no LinkedIn component, which is fantastic. Saves you a lot of time.
It's time for another
job interview. That was my whole other job. My last job was just, this seems right. Let's do that. It's definitely got traction. It's definitely got a lot of interest. Are there, so 40K wise, you mentioned Kroot in the last box. Like, can you pretty much play any army? Are there any that they haven't done?
So the only, because I've done every army, you cannot do every model out of every army. So there's no Terminator, Space Marine Terminator option currently.
They'll come.
That has to come. That'll be,
you get one model.
Most of the boys.
Is there a Custodes?
Well, there are. Talons of the Emperor is their fancy pants name. They are, I think they've got something like 19 wounds and a 2+ save. Don't quote me on that, but they are virtually unstoppable.
And oh wait, I painted six guys. I painted six guys. What the fuck? I could have painted four.
You could have painted four, 100%. But, you know, they are gold, so it's a little gaudy. But, you know, if that's your thing, it's your thing. But yeah, there's literally every faction. There is a kill team, and the best part of the factions isn't the 40K stuff, really. You've got Beastmen, Thelgor Ravagers. You can get a team of them, which do not really exist in 40K unless you're using them in some sort of cultist fashion, I imagine. Mm-hmm. You've got the Star Striders, which is your rogue traders. You've got your Carl Urban looking, you know, what's his name? Red. Yeah, I've blanked completely on who he was, but your Arbetes, your Enforcers, they are a team.
Yeah. I'm with you now. You lost me at the really obscure references, but I'm back with you with the Arbetes.
Carl Urban, New Zealand's finest. Judge Dredd.
You say Carl Urban, I'm like, instantly I'm thinking, is it Thor, or is it Dredd, or is it the boys?
See, I got very confused.
I'm 90% of the way there.
I went to Keith Urban and got very confused.
Keith Urban, that'd be a great team based around Keith Urban. That'd be fantastic. So the best teams, or the most fun teams, the coolest teams, the rule of cool, are all of those teams that aren't strictly from 40K. They're the ones you can have a lot of fun with. They're the ones that are different.
Because am I right? You still need your gas. The Star Striders, as an example, though, it's basically like a fixed team, but like everybody's different and everybody's a little bit funky and weird and have their own special rules. And there's like, I don't know, eight of the bastards, but they're all, and they have a dog and they look pretty.
Yeah. So Inquisitorial agents are the same. Just I can't remember how many are in that team, but a team of individuals. Yeah.
But even the Elder that you're playing at the moment, right, you get to pick between the different whatever the fuck Aspect Warriors, right? So you mix up your Scorpions and your Banshees and your Dire Avengers and...
Yep, they're still the standard models, but you do get to pick what flavor you go for. Within reason, you don't really tend to use Dire Avengers too much. They just tend to hang out the back. You don't really bring too many of them, but your Striking Scorpions and Banshees are your play setters on that team.
You wait till they bring in the alternate Aspect Warriors and suddenly you've got the bloody the Spiders and the Reapers and life would get interesting. Fire Dragons.
Yeah.
Happy days.
Fire Dragons. You just got eight guys with melter guns and then you've got problems. Yeah.
Are there Harlequins?
Harlequins, they have a Harlequin team. Yep.
There you go, Jace. That's your next one.
Oh, I'm not painting fucking checks.
Well, they've got a standalone team, Void Scarred Corsairs. And they have a guy with a bird, which is a bold choice to bring to a fight. I can understand a dog, but a bird, okay, whatever.
What is it with GW and animals at the moment?
I don't know, but let's not complain. It's glorious.
Yeah. It's just, are there any animals they haven't done yet?
I haven't seen a dairy cow, let's be honest.
Well, there was one
on the team full of just stubborn dairy cows.
I mean, Blood Bowl has a Minotaur. And there was one attached to the old giant belt. He had a little cow.
I'm sure I've seen somebody use a cow as a token in Blood Bowl, but anyway.
I'm going to suggest it to Grebo for the next cute Immel team.
Cows.
Yeah.
With lots of udders.
It's utterly nonsense. Anyway, back to Kill Team.
please, no more of those jokes.
Look, I think ultimately the take-up, you sort of went, hey, I'm going to play this, and it snowballed. I don't know what you were expecting. To be clear,
but that would be surprised.
Yeah, but it's the turnout has been intense. I think there was four or so games going last night, just ad hoc, out of the blue. It was kind of like, oh, we're going to play games. How about play some Kill Team? And then all of a sudden, people just piled on, right? So it's impressive, and I think I'm starting to see people do some more hobby, paint some more stuff, get excited about their dudes, slowly, vaguely working through the rules. It's all those things that, it's clearly ticking a lot of boxes, and I don't think this is the only community where that's happening. So it's been a fun game. I think I will say, if we talk about, we've talked about why you would play it. Challenges, apart from the fact that GW can't write to save themselves, I am finding, and this could be due to my complete lack of effort in getting amongst it, the base rules, great, got it, not even a problem. I don't, but let's pretend. Objectives, cool. Secondary objectives, yeah. And then there's been all of these moments where I've found extra places they put rules. And, if I think about that, it is that, what does your team do? I'm like, hey, what are these chapter tactic things? I scrolled up in the PDF and it's got more rules. What are they? Now, I understand that I should probably spend more time and pay more attention in class. Am I right in thinking it feels like they kind of go, here's a really simple streamlined rule set, but we're just going to add some stuff on and add some stuff on and add some stuff on a little bit.
It does sometimes feel like a hat on a hat situation. When you got strategic ploys, tactical ploys, and then they throw in chapter tactics. But why they couldn't throw those into strategic ploys or tactical ploys, I'm not sure. But I think the issue that a lot of people are finding with it is that every time they release a new kill team, mm-hmm. like we've got two new ones coming in the next 6 months, they tend to make those more overpowered or underpowered based upon the last kill teams that came out. And then that has a snowball effect where they release new rules on top of old rules to try and balance everything from a, you know, a tournament or a competitive side of things.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm not
so happy. You just end up with these rules on rules, which is what you're having a problem with at the moment. Yeah.
Or you go
40k though, isn't it?
I mean, no, 40k would be it's a new army, so we need to sell more models, so we make the new one better than the last one in every instance. I think the difference with Kill Team is sometimes they go, "Ooh, they're doing really good, and these are vaguely sort of like them, so we'll make them really shit." Is sometimes a knee jerk reaction, or we have the Underworld problem, which again, another great game, rock on, but I am not keeping up with the FAQs at all. So occasionally you rock up and you look at your little card or your little, you know, rule, and you say, right, this dude does this thing. And then somebody else says, oh no, that was errated. And then there was an FAQ, and then they FAQ'd the FAQ. And now that's not at all.
If you open up your fortune cookie, you'll see the new rule.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We went through that on Blood Bowl, didn't we, with your teammate? First you turned over when you knocked your guy over, and then you didn't turn over, and now it's somewhere in between, and who knows? As long as Moose can throw a teammate, everyone's happy.
Hey, look, as long as he gets to throw and kick a teammate in the same turn, everyone wins.
Yeah, I lose to him every time if he does that. I'm more than happy. But yeah, I think it's just the Classic Games Workshop. Whatever the latest hotness is, they tend to want to put the kibosh on it. Mm-hmm. Calm everything down, but then they go too far sometimes. But hey, what do you do?
It's hard, right? And it's hard when I think, you know, we're playing Blood Bowl as I would say, you know, it's my primary game at the moment. And you're always looking for that secondary something just to scratch the itch when you feel like playing something different. You know, chocolate's well and good, but every once in a while you just want some vanilla. And it's good vanilla, but it also, I think you need to accept that sometimes you're just not going to keep up with that, and that's okay, because you're only doing it because you don't feel like some chocolate tonight. I got more sexual than I wanted.
At the end of the day, if you're having fun with it, just play one of the rules everybody's happy with. No one's playing for keeps. Yeah. You killed enough guardsmen last night without any chapter tactics, so...
No, yeah. I put the chapter tactic on, and fuck, they kill more. That's what happened last night. Oh,
okay, sorry.
I remembered them.
I've just pulled off a band-aid.
I actually just remembered them, oh my God, shit dies. It was, I think one of those was just the extra inch of movement. And I'm like, oh, I can be there now. That's
fantastic.
There's a whole lot
further. It makes a huge difference. Yeah, you don't think an inch does a lot, but I'm telling you, lads, it does a lot. That extra inch.
I mean, it is still how you use it.
It is 100%. Interestingly, out of all of the factions, the Vet Guard have not had a rule change since I think the very, very beginning. So they seem to be the most balanced, well, arguably the most balanced team at the moment, based on Games Workshop input. So, yeah, deal with that information how you will. But
I think the terrifying piece is I went, this is a great excuse to paint Space Marines. We've started that. We'll finish that very, very quickly. It'll be fine. It's nearly done. But it's almost a piece of you're already going, fuck, it's only, you know, a dozen models max. what can I do next? Which ones are pretty next? Which ones are not Space Marines? Because everyone cries a little bit when you show up to the table with Space Marines. What else can we do? And I think what's going to happen is, you know, to your point, is eventually people will work out how to play the game and the Space Marines won't do the things that they're supposed to do. And there will be a big leveling moment. I'll be like, I need something trickier.
But you heard Chad before. It's all about learning your team and getting the most out of your team. It's not not a change your team every season. Like
no, no, no. But I'm all right. Have you met the people that we play with?
Yeah, I know. I know. And I'm absolutely one of them.
Correct. And the other part of this is it does feel like the Space Marine, I could be wrong here, but it feels like the Space Marines are great for beginners because they are relatively forgiving. You come with decent army, you come with decent amount of wounds, and you do everything good. And you get to choose whether you want to punch things good and just shoot things okay, or shoot things good and just punch things okay. Like, that's the choice. Everything else is kind of superfluous. So, and then you get these chapter tactics, which make you better at doing whatever the fuck you want to do. But with that probably comes a few less tricks and gotchas and stuff that you can pull out, whereas you're going to have other teams that are less forgiving, die faster, but can do more tricksy bullshit. So if you can actually get your head around that, Space Marine's still going to die, right? So I think that there's – or you actually play to the objectives, shock horror, and it doesn't matter if the Space Marines live or die because you still have all of the points.
That's what it comes down to. It's just bodies on the board when you play objectives in a lot of cases. So 14 guardsmen on the board, you can just flood those objectives. You know, you've got six players versus 14. If you're Ant and you're just playing the objective, you don't really worry about who's getting a bolter to the face each turn. If you clear the board by the end of turn three, but he's X amount of EPs up on you, he still technically wins. You know, you have a moral victory. I'm not going to take that away from you. You just killed an entire civilization of Imperial Guardsmen in four turns. But yeah, that's really where the elite teams start to struggle, is when players start playing that objective game.
Yeah. It's problematic when I'm four games in or something and you're already thinking about what the next team will be just for something different. It's never good. And then you showed up with the Eldar. I'm like, oh, they're pretty. I like Eldar. Oh, and then I saw the Star Striders. I'm like, oh, they're also pretty. And I haven't really gone much deeper into what else is around, but it's a problem.
Well, I started with Death Watch and I painted three of them. Then I went to Vetguard and I have 20 of them unpainted. And then I've gone to Eldar. So I'm really in the hole here. It's really not working out for me at this point in time when I decided to play this thing. I can just get six Death Watch. It'll be fine. Don't worry about it. Now I'm up to, 40-something models? Yeah, this is working out well. Yep, exactly as planned.
Hey, I mean, to be fair, you could be playing 40K and that's not a whole squad.
True. Combine them all together in some mismatched outfit, I might have 200 points, but
yeah.
No. I'm hoping the next team that comes out will be I know the next team won't be this, and we know what they are, but I'm hoping there's an Alpha Legion team coming in the future.
Ooh.
You only have one Space Marine and, say, 8 or 9 cultists, or what do you want to call them? You know how they placed operatives all over the galaxy and they used mortals for doing things, normal humans?
Yep.
I think that'll be a really cool team. Yeah, I'd love to see that. That'd be awesome. It's my gnomes, basically. That's my gnomes.
So, thoughts. Jace, you've played a couple of games.
Yeah, it's...
You're in?
I am in because it is one of those games that lets you play 40K without too much thinking. Or models. So, it's simple. Like, it's actually, like... And I am playing a simplified version of a simple game, right? Because I'm ignoring half of the rules. I'm getting the other half wrong. But, and I'm playing Space Marines. So, you know, we don't go with it. But I think to the point at the start, right, once you get the base mechanics of this is how cover works, this is how conceal works, this is the combat mechanic, this is the shooting mechanic, the rest of it you can wing. It's keywords and looking those up and forgetting what they are and trying again. And then it's just what your team does. And you can kind of ignore what the other team does. You just learn what your team does and you do the thing that you want to do and you hope that you do it better than they do whatever the hell that they're doing. So as a bit of a beer and Skittles, a bit of a, you know, it still gives you the narrative stuff. It still gives you the, I'm going to build my team and do stuff, but actually it doesn't cost me any extra hobby points because I'm not cutting an arm off and adding a different gun on. Is it going to become my main game? No. Is it going to be something that I keep up to date with the releases and the FAQs and you know, I know it backwards? Absolutely not. But is it something that you're happy to throw six base marines in the bag and be like, fuck it, if someone wants to play that, let's bust a game out because we can do it after our seventh game? Sign me the hell up.
Intriguing. Intriguing. Look, for me, I've only played the one game. I played that with you, Chad, and, you know, used some totally different team to what I was actually going to have. So this is what, like, that web app or whatever it was that build your army here, I had no idea what the hell I was doing. So obviously I didn't even choose the right orcs. For me, look, I enjoyed our game. I enjoyed the getting the objectives. I enjoyed taking some of your Space Marines off the table. But yeah, look, I've played enough games to know that objective points are a thing and probably something you should strive for. My issue with Kill Team is totally a personal one, and it's the fact that it's a one-on-one game. And I still get anxiety and nervous when I play one-on-one games, which for some reason Blood Bowl doesn't give me. So I do need to get in and have a few more games, and I will. I've just got to get that sort of right headspace before I do. But I liked it. I liked the idea. I did play it once or twice way back when, like, we're talking, it must have been first edition, and yeah, I got wiped off the table pretty quickly by my opponent and never went back to it.
Because it was a 40K variant back then, right? So that's how you played the game. Mm. I think, you know, the challenge will be is if we decide to play Necromunda or Warcry and Underworlds, and, like, it's just how thin can you stretch yourself? Because I've tried, and after a little bit, it starts to tear, and it's no good. Anyway, so
two games is a good number, I reckon. If you have two games that you like to play, and then your third one is whatever the hell is there at the night, you know, whether it's a board game, card game, whatever.
As long as somebody else knows the fucking rules, I don't care, right? But I think the other part of this is who's playing, right? And at the moment, you've got most of the people who are playing are the crew that we play Blood Bowl with. So you know that it's going to be a fun time regardless. And then somebody else knows the rules, so I don't have to. Everybody wins. Except that person that knows the rules.
Retiring, I'm not gonna lie to you.
Overall, I think you've done a great job in not only getting this started, mate, but just driving the interest and keeping that interest flowing. And the fact that we had four or five games happening last night on a Monday night. I mean, it was an off Blood Bowl week, but it was still, you know, Blood Bowl going on at the same time. And to get that amount of Kill Team going in as well is just awesome.
Yeah.
Well, it just shows the interest in, like you said, a second game, doesn't it?
Mm.
Again, people can just turn up, play.
This is it.
You know, the brain dead after work. They don't have to invest any bandwidth. Just turn up, hope for the best, leave. That's all we're after.
Yeah. No,
as long as you leave.
It does feel like a bit of a decompression game, though. It's not one of those ones that where you're there going, oh, you know, you're sweating bullets after every turn going, what the hell am I going to do? You'd be like, fuck it, I'm going to put a guy there and he's going to try and hit you with his sword and now he's dead. Great, let's move on. And that's okay because it's kind of, I don't know, it has that feel.
I think it's down to who you play it with, though, isn't it, really? Like, if you're playing against some guys and take 40K pretty serious, our soft cheating might not go over so well. But with yeah. Blood Bowl players who are used to soft cheating on a daily basis, easy peasy.
What is the what is the turn 16 foul equivalent in Kill Team?
Ooh. Maybe it is just a turn 16 foul. Maybe we need to introduce that as a new rule.
Well, I mean,
instead of fighting someone, you can ring their mum and just hurl abuse at her.
No, it was the best crossover ever, like Blood Team.
Kill Bowl.
Kill Bowl, that's a winner. Somebody put a patent on that right now.
No, I think, you know, if we talk about the narrative piece and it is that whole piece around, you know, if your models get taken out of action, they may actually die. So I could just stand on this objective and win the game, or I can shoot you in the face. I think there's still a turn 16 foul equivalent. I think it's doable.
Doesn't have the same vibe, though, does it? Nah. Stomping on someone's neck on the sideline.
We need a way to do extra damage if someone's laying on the ground, but I don't know how to get them on the ground in Kill Team because once they're out, they're out. We'll come up. We'll kind of play with that.
We'll just invent some sort of curb stomp rule.
House roll.
Yeah.
No, it'll be the next faction they bring out. There'll be a bite the curb special rule. It'll be fine.
Edward Norton.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Red. Yeah.
American History X. Oh, yeah. If you are in the Geelong area and you want to give it a go, just jump in our Discord because we have plenty of people playing and plenty of people wanting to play more. So, Jace, you put up the links. Do all that sort of
I'll do the stuff. Things. There's a 40K channel. That's where all the Kill Team stuff lives because it lives in the 40K universe. So that makes perfect sense because no one's talking actual 40K, let's be honest. We're not that sadistic. So that's where it's all happening. I'll throw the links in. Jump in. As I said, it is literally, if you are interested in the game and you just want to play with a bunch of people who are going to have fun and giggle and roll dice and not really care if you're learning the rules, like this is the time and the place and the people to get involved with. You know, Chad's doing all the heavy lifting, which is great. You know, he's putting together the narrative campaign, which I really should send you my email address to send me the link to the thing.
Good. I'm filling it in for you.
Oh, good.
It's fine.
What's it say?
Nothing good at the moment. Yeah, you're just hemorrhaging requisition points. But, you know, some of us are doing well out of it.
So my next question out of all of that is, what's a requisition point? I'll stop. Anyway.
It's something you retain.
Oh, fuck.
All right. Is there anything else we want to talk about as far as Kill Team goes? Anything we haven't said? No.
You still owe me another game, Brett, but we'll discuss that later.
Yep. I still need to work out exactly. I even thought that my commandos were 10 characters. Now you're telling me 12. And now I'm even more confused.
You get to take a grot and a bomb squig for free.
Oh, they're free, are they?
So okay. If you take the grot or the bomb squig, you get the other one thrown in. It's a package deal. Mm. Yeah.
Oh, damn it. That means I need to paint the grot as well. Anyway, we shall talk. Shall we talk about what's on, Jace?
There are things.
They definitely are. Most importantly, we have a date. 1st of June, Thoughtless Bowl 5.
Oh, I thought you were going to buy me flowers. No. Thoughtless Bowl.
No.
Five. No. It's a thing.
Number five. We will get a players pack up and ready at some point soon. I think we just redo the DP Thoughtless one because
that's pretty much the same plan, right? So yeah, the moral of the story is for those who can't be bothered reading the rules or the players pack, right, it's basically just going to be sevens. You're going to come up, mm-hmm. you're going to play some sevens. Like there's not, we're not breaking things. We're not messing with stuff. It's not going to be too silly. Just come not in yet. And play some sevens, have a fun ass day, do some stuff. It's Blood Bowl, but it's faster and better.
Yeah. Look, yeah, players pack will be up shortly if you want to lock in a ticket before that goes up, although, yeah, it shouldn't take us too long. $25 to the normal bank account that's in every other players pack. We have sold 10 tickets already.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, so that is going to be a thing. We are going to have a bit of fun with that. And because, you know, DP didn't happen, let's put a bit more effort into this one. I've got some couple of ideas, prizes, things like that that we can work on. But want more information, there is a page on Facebook and there's details in the Discord as well. The other thing going on is we have a painting event which finishes at the end of this month.
It does. Fortunately, it's only the 5th, so I have time to finish the things I was meant to finish. For the event, finish a thing. Whole trick here is, guys, if you have started a thing, you started a project, right, and you went, oh, I've painted 3 out of those 6, you know, Death Watch. I really need an excuse to paint the other 3 of those 6 Death Watch. Just here's your excuse. It is finish a thing. You've started a project. As an example, forever ago, our good friend the Nerd Fairy started painting some Stormcaster Eternal for Age of Sigmar. I mean, rookie mistake for Age of Sigmar, but he started that and he never finished his little army. And last night he was furiously painting some Stormcast Eternal because he was all excited about Age of Sigmar again. And I went, wait, you started these a while ago? And he went, yeah. And I went, and you're finishing them? And he went, yeah. And I went, so you're finishing a thing. There's an event for that. And this is the event. So finish a thing that you started before the event, by the end of the event, and post progress. Feel good about yourself. We will do an episode at the end of it. We will gush about everyone's wonderful things. We will give some, you know, stuff away for stuff that we think is super cool. And that's as much as it is involved.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not rocket surgery.
But it could be if the thing you started was a rocket and then you never finished it and then you needed...
It is a painting thing.
You could be painting rocket surgery.
Okay. Off the rails again. That's about it that I can think of. Anything else from you, Jace?
No.
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 Thank you very much for listening. I assume that if you started this, you made it all the way to the end, unlike all our other episodes, but simply because Chad's here. So thank you very much, Chad.
Thanks for putting up with my incoherent rambling.
I mean,
it's better than us.
Yeah.
Give us a follow, Facebook, Spotify, Twidbean, Podbitch. I don't know what they are anymore.
Cast
only fans.
Yeah, all of those things are things. I, you know, like, subscribe. But Facebook is there. Instagram is there. Finally, somebody's actually doing something with those accounts, which is glorious. We're starting to see a little bit more love and attention. As always, if you want to chat to some wonderful people that are not us about all of the shit that we're talking about, the Discord is the place. And there is a lot of chat a lot of the time about all of these games and more. Very much, very much recommend it. Links are all below. Get involved. It's a fun old time.
Absolutely. And if you want to help us run a couple of giveaways and stuff like that, or for, you know, you're stupid enough to think that we actually are somewhat decent at this.
We are not.
We are not, absolutely not. We do have a Patreon. You can jump on for a couple of bucks a month, a buck or two. Or if you're incredibly stupid, like these people, Alice, Archie, Clinton, Gertie, Jared, Kingsley, and Yuri, you can get thanks every single episode. So thank you guys. Yeah, shaking your head is not great for the audio medium.
It's not a great audio, but I can't. It's now just an automatic response.
Yeah. But that's it from us. Thanks again, Chad.
Hey, guys. I'll see you maybe Monday.
Monday.
Yeah.
Sold.
Laters.
Gotcha.
See you all.
Soon.